The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. I'm your host, Maddie Murphy. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of The Bad Broadcast. Hope you are having a lovely morning or afternoon or evening or middle of the night. And I hope that this episode is going to make it even better. Because when I was researching this topic, I researched this topic, okay? I sat down and I did Google searches over little details, and it filled me with such joy, I can't even describe it. I don't have any announcements, you know, no love, hate list this week, because we have so much to get through and I have so much I want to talk about. In today's episode, we are talking about 20 things that turned 20 years old in 2004, aka we're talking about the year 2004. It will shock you how much went on this year. Such a pivotal time for pop culture. And it was, yeah, it was really fun to read through these lists and find all these fun facts. So let's just dive on in. And I'm going to start with the one that perhaps had the most profound effect on my life, one that I still think about daily that's made me who I am. And that is the release of Shrek 2. Shrek 2 was the highest grossing movie of the year in 2004. It was followed by Spider-Man 2, The Passion of the Christ, and Harry Potter 3. Shrek 2 starred Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, John Cleese, and Julie Andrews. Let me hit you with this fun fact, you guys. It premiered at the Cannes Film Festival in May 2004, before it was released in theaters later that month. I don't know why Shrek 2 premiered at Cannes. If anybody has a reason for that, please let me know. Here's an even more shocking fact. It was nominated for the Palme d'Or. I think that's French, obviously. This is a French film festival, Maddie. Shut up. AKA the highest honor at the Cannes Film Festival. Shrek 2 was nominated for that. I didn't know this either. It was inspired by the 1967 movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And it also went on to receive 2 Academy Award nominations for Best Animated Movie and Best Original Song for Accidentally in Love. Didn't know that was written for Shrek 2 until this. Notably, this movie is where we meet human Shrek, who changed all of us, I'm sure. We met Puss in Boots, who is voiced by Antonio Banderas. And we also met the ugly stepsister who owns the tavern. Did you guys know that Larry King voices the ugly stepsister? I bet you didn't know that. Also, Shrek 2 is objectively a better sequel than The Godfather Part 2. And that's just like according to science and math and history. It's the best sequel of all time. I love Shrek 2. I went through a very weird phase a few years ago where I was watching like a lot of animated movies. Like I've told you guys, it was to the point where like my friends were very worried about it. I've since stopped that habit. I've shed that habit, but I will never stop watching Shrek 2. I watched it probably 2-3 times over the course of maternity leave. Maternity leave was only 6 weeks, you guys, and I watched it that many times, and I've watched it since then. I think it is genius. It's genius. Every time I say it's the best animated sequel, well, I don't think it's the most animated sequel. I think it's the best sequel, period. But people are always like, what about Toy Story 2? I hear you. I see you. Shrek 2 is better. Highest grossing movie of 2004. And there were a lot of hits released in 2004. It will shock you. Okay. The next thing that happened in 2004, Mark Zuckerberg, don't know if you've heard of him, he launched a little tiny project called Facebook. A lot of us know this story from The Social Network, right? Mark Zuckerberg has come out and said that a lot of it was not true. I just feel like it is, you know? I watch Social Network and I just feel like that's what happened. It's probably not. Anyway, Mark Zuckerberg was attending Harvard where student directories were called Facebooks. this isn't in the movie, but this is the truth, is that Facebooks were not actually even digital. They weren't even online. Everybody just had a paper copy, but there wasn't anything universal. And so Mark Zuckerberg and his Zuckbergian ways said, well, Harvard's taking too long to do it, and I can do it in a week, and I can do it better than they can. So the site started off being available to only Harvard students, and then it later became available to all colleges. And in 2005, it was open to high school kids. And in 2006, it became available to everyone. Facebook, yeah. I mean, I feel like I used MySpace first. I'm trying to remember when we stopped using MySpace. Yeah, I guess it had to have been like maybe eighth or ninth grade for me, for any of my 1993 kids. That was about when I stopped and when I transferred over to Facebook. It was much cleaner, much sleeker. I did miss all the coding though. Remember on MySpace, we could like add icons and like you could add music. Like Facebook was a little bit more boring, but you know, everybody was on it and it was a really easy way to stalk every kid that you had a crush on when you were 12. In December 2005, Facebook had 6 million monthly users. And in March 2023, Facebook had 2.9 billion users. All of those users and not one good meme or accurate news article in sight. I swear, I feel like people who use Facebook as their main social media shouldn't be allowed to vote, because the amount of information on there that is simply not true. Like there will be full AI pictures of like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's kids, and somebody's aunt will see it and screenshot it and send it to their niece and be like, did you know that they secretly had a baby 3 years ago? Like no one's getting facts off of Facebook. I haven't even talked about, I should have announced this or like said on my Instagram or something. I archived my Facebook group because it was causing me turmoil. There was so much turmoil happening on my Facebook group, and I couldn't do it. There was a lot of great things too. A lot of people connecting and stuff. But it was too much to run a Facebook group. It's a lot of effort. Shout out to everybody who runs Facebook groups, because also I don't know how to use it. I haven't had Facebook in like 10 years. So I didn't know how to use anything. However, Facebook Marketplace is probably the best thing that has ever come out of Facebook, in my humble opinion. Facebook is currently valued at a mere, let's see, 1.2 trillion. Imagine being Mark Zuckerberg. You're at Harvard. You're like, I'm going to make this database so that everybody can see what their classmates are up to. I wonder if back then he thought, I'm going to be a trillionaire one day, and I'm also going to control everyone's lives. Like that's who we put in charge. I just want everybody to think about that for a moment. That's who we put in charge of our lives. Mark Zuckerberg. All right. Next moment, notable moment from 2004, Motorola released the Razr. The Razr. The Razr started at $499 and adjusted for inflation. Yeah, I looked up the adjusted for inflation rate. Okay. That's how much I care about this year. It's about $800 today. It was an expensive phone. That's crazy to me. It was first marketed as a high-end fashion phone, which I thought was so interesting, because phones really did used to be an accessory because everybody's was different. And it just said a lot about a person. Like I can remember girls who had like the chocolate, the LG chocolate, or, you know, my first boyfriend had Sidekick. Oh, and it was like such a selling point on him that he had a Sidekick. You know, it just, everybody had their own different style of phone. And I miss it. I wonder if those days will come back. I'm sure they will. The hot pink version didn't come out until 2005. And I don't want to make anybody jealous, but I did have it. I had a hot pink Razr for a time. I remember I had it in seventh grade, and it was the cool thing to like, you like flip your phone like over like the, like, why can't I remember what this is called? Like your collar, almost said your neck hole on your shirt, and girls would like put it right there or like put it on like their tank top strap. I was never allowed to wear a tank top, so I could not have done that, but you bet that I put it on my collar, and you know, it was probably a double layered Hollister popped collar that I clipped it on. And yeah, it was really a moment. Over the Razr's 4 year span, it sold over 130 million units. Get this stat that I found, making it the best selling clamshell phone to date. I wonder if that was a competitive award to win in the market of clamshells. Also, it led the market until 2008 when the iPhone was released. And that's what I did. I went straight from my pink razor and I hopped on into an iPhone and I never looked back. That's not true. I was sold on a Droid one time, an Android. And the guy was helping me for like an hour. And I was like, I'm just not sure. And he was like, listen, if you hate it, bring it back tomorrow. And I was like, okay. And I took him up on that because those suck so bad. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. Marley Spoon saved me during postpartum. I love to cook. It makes me feel like a normal person when I can make my own dinner. I find it very relaxing, very grounding, but getting out of the house and going grocery shopping and finding everything that I need for really delicious meals really wasn't possible with a newborn. And Marley Spoon made it so much easier. Marley Spoon knows that bland food is boring, so they created the best tasting meal kit that money can buy. And with my code BAD, you can get up to 25 free meals. With Marley Spoon, you can choose from over 100 delicious recipes every single week, from Cajun spiced chicken to poached salmon to butternut squash gnocchi to a vegan burrito bowl. We did the unstuffed shells. Oh, also, their brownies, you can get like add-ons with the meal kit. So I added on the brownies. They were so good. Many of the recipes are completely customizable. Whether you're looking for vegetarian meals, family-friendly dishes, or low-carb options, Marley Spoon has the food that you actually want to eat. Marley Spoon even has an in-house registered dietitian who actually assesses every recipe. So it takes the guesswork out of eating healthy. Marley Spoon also saves you from making that extra grocery haul with their online market of pantry essentials. You can shop their selection of 125 plus items like seasonal produce, ready-to-heat options, meal shortcuts, extra proteins, and handy snacks. With meal planning and food shopping taken care of, making delicious food at home has finally become effortless. Plus, with Marley Spoon, you aren't locked in long-term. Marley Spoon's flexible subscription allows you to edit, pause, or cancel your boxes anytime. So experience the most personalized meal kit with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/bad and use the code BAD for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/bad for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code BAD so they know I sent you. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Dipsy. We use our phones for absolutely everything. Am I right? I use it for 100% of the tasks that I need to do. But did you know that you can also use it for some me time, perhaps some sexy me time? Don't worry, your fantasies are safe with Dipsy. Just don't forget to use your headphones. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. So you can discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, hot and heavy hookups, forced proximity, maybe. Whatever you're into, Dipsy has you covered. And there's a growing library of fantasy series with vampires, Greek gods, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week. So in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. Also, they have soothing sleep stories and wellness sessions, and they have sexy written stories to read, whatever you're into. So let Dipsy be your go-to place to spice up your me time, explore your fantasies, relax and unwind, or even heat things up with a partner. For listeners of The Bad Broadcast, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/bad. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsestories.com/bad. Once again, that is dipsystories.com/bad. Okay. Next notable moment. Number four, the iPod mini is released. It is announced on January 6th. Oh, well, let's change that date to mean iPod mini release date instead of, you know, national insurrection. And it was released on February 20th. It came in five colors, silver, blue, green, pink, and gold, with a 4 gigabyte capacity and 8 hours of battery life. Like in the year 2024, can you think of a worse MP3 player than that? 4 gigabytes and 8 hours of battery life. Now it's like we need, I mean, my phone is what, 100? No, it's more. I think I have a terabyte of storage on my phone and it can be like not charged for 2 days. That's crazy. If somebody told me it had 4 gigs in 8 hours, I'd be like, hey, that's a children's toy. That's nothing useful. I remember having the internal battle of if I should get pink or green, because blue and silver were just a little bit too boy for me. Green was like kind of cool girl. Pink was like overly girly. I didn't know what to do. I never considered gold because it felt outdated then. Feels outdated now. But I ended up going with the pink one and I loved it. I loved it. I had the inscription on the back. It said Madison Rose Murphy. It was so good. It was one of the best selling electronics, but it was taken off of the market after only a year because then Apple whipped out the iPod Nano. Do you remember waiting in line? I have a brother, shout out to my brother, Taylor. He would wait in line for every single new Apple product, every single one. Imagine doing that. What is it with being a millennial and waiting in line for things until midnight? Like, why couldn't things release at 8 p.m. or 8 a.m.? Why did it have to be midnight? Movies, iPods, like, just let us live. Speaking of live, number 5 on the list of things that happened in 2004, the Livestrong bracelet was released. The Livestrong bracelet. The Livestrong Foundation is a nonprofit organization that provides support for people with cancer, established by road racing cyclist and cancer survivor Lance Armstrong. A moment of silence for the Livestrong bracelets. The yellow bracelets were a fundraiser launched in 2004, and they sold over 80 million units and grossed over $33 million. That's by 2012. Sorry, that's not just in 1 year. That was over the course of, you know, its lifespan until in 2012, when Lance Armstrong was stripped of all of his Tour de France titles. Tour de France? Do I say it with an accent? Tour de France titles after he was found to be using performance-enhancing drugs, aka doping. Armstrong filed a lawsuit stating that the United States Anti-Doping Agency infringed upon his right to a fair and speedy trial. This whole thing, I was reading about this. The wiki page for this is miles long. Like, there's so much that went on. Lawsuits, settling, a bunch of stuff. But at the end of the day, he was found guilty. He resigned from the foundation. He's banned from cycling, but he's able to participate in other sports. I don't know why. It makes me laugh thinking about him like being banned from the cycling. Like, is he still allowed to like cycle in secret? Like, can he get a Peloton, or like, is he banned from like ever using his legs in a bicycle motion ever again? Also, it's funny that he's able to participate in other sports. They're like, hey, we know you've dedicated your life to cycling. What if you picked up water polo now? You haven't ruined that one. That one you can use. The Livestrong Foundation is still going strong, by the way. He's no longer a part of it, and it seems like it's still doing well and helping a lot of people. But man, those Livestrong bracelets, how did these things become so popular? Things that were so ugly, had really no fashion to them, but we all wore one. I mean, those little rubber bands, I had so many that said so many different things. I didn't even include the I Heart Boobies rubber bracelet that so many guys wore, or silly bands. We loved rubber on the wrist. As millennials, we loved it. Okay, number 6, The Simple Life with Paris and Nicole aired its first and second seasons. Well, technically season 1 aired in December 2003, but it finished in 2004. And then the second season also released in 2004. So in the first season, Paris and Nicole agreed to leave behind their cell phones, their credit cards, and their celebrity status to move in with a family in Atlas, Arkansas. Shout out to Arkansas. For a month. The second season followed them traveling across the United States in a pink pickup truck driven by Paris, pulling an Airstream and participating in activities like catching crawfish, working as maids, and sausage making. Oh, I was looking up like the memes that have come out of The Simple Life. Like, it really is. Like, I'm going to try not to overuse the word, but The Simple Life was iconic. I was not allowed to watch it. There was no way I would have been allowed to watch it. But now that I'm older and I can watch clips of it, it's pretty incredible. It was nominated for Teen Choice Awards for Best Reality Show and Best Reality Star for Paris Hilton. Number 7, Nipplegate, aka the 2004 Super Bowl. Can you believe all this happened in 1 year? It's crazy. So Janet Jackson was the original choice to perform at the halftime show for Super Bowl. I don't know what that number is, and I should have looked it up. XXXVII. I think there's 3 of them. I don't know. But the NFL community selected U2 after a group of NFL owners and officials attended the band's concert and shortly after the September 11th attacks. So in September 2003, the NFL chose Jackson as the headline performer of the Super Bowl, the next one, XXXVIII, whatever. Because the event was occurring during an election year, MTV decided that the show's theme would heavily focus on the network's Choose or Lose campaign, which encouraged younger viewers to be politically active and register to vote. Justin Timberlake had attended Jackson's Rhythm Nation tour as a kid, and Jackson's energetic dance routines and daring performance style had made a deep impression on him. While Timberlake was a member of NSYNC, Jackson selected the boy band as the opening act for many dates of her blockbuster Velvet Rope World Tour, which helped promote and introduce the then relatively unknown group and Timberlake to the public worldwide. It makes me so mad that Justin Timberlake was the member of NSYNC to become famous. Like, the other ones deserved it way more. I'm saying that based on basically nothing except for the fact that Justin Timberlake cheated, and that's all I need to know. Let's see. Jackson further promoted the group by performing with NSYNC on several dates, including joining the group for a live a cappella duet of Stevie Wonder's Overjoyed. Following the tour, Timberlake and Jackson became good friends, with Jackson also praising the tour. Timberlake. That's our celebrity name. Timberlake recreated Jackson's That's the Way Love Goes video with NSYNC and was inspired by her performance style. When asked who he thought was the sexiest woman on the planet, he said Janet Jackson. So what happened at the halftime show? Now that we know, they were friends. They went back, guys. During the halftime show at the Super Bowl on February 1st, 2004, Jackson performed a medley of hits, beginning with All For You, Rhythm Nation, and a brief excerpt of The Knowledge. Then, surprise guest Justin Timberlake appeared on stage to perform a duet of his song, Rock Your Body. The performance contained several suggestive dance moves by both singers. Naughty, naughty. As Timberlake reached his final line of Rock Your Body, which is, you know, gotta have you naked by the end of this song, he pulled at a part of Janet Jackson's costume. The move revealed Jackson's right breast, adorned by a sun-shaped nipple shield, for less than a second, after which the CBS broadcast cut to a wide shot of the stage and then to an aerial view. I wasn't allowed to watch the halftime show. Actually, I probably would have been allowed to, but I didn't see Nipplegate until after. And it shook the nation, to say the least. And what's unfortunate is that I feel like Janet Jackson paid the price for it, while Justin Timberlake has kind of barely mentioned it. Like, 20 years later, now he's saying, like, oh yeah, that sucked. And like, Janet Jackson, like, whose fault was this? Like, I don't know. And they continue to say it was an accident. The more I watch it, I'm like, I don't know. But it seems like it was Justin Timberlake's fault. And I feel bad for Janet Jackson. I do feel bad for her. And she deserved better. Basically, every woman that came out of the early 2000s deserved a lot better from the general public. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. That's what I want to do. I just want staple pieces that go with everything that I can wear every day that won't get so worn out, that I also don't have to, you know, spend a fortune on. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. They've got 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, up to 80% less. Incredible. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and they pass on the savings to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I have a robe from them that I wear basically every single day. It's my favorite. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Once again, that is quince.com/bad for free shipping and 365-day returns. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's something that you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run? Would you take a nap? Would you read a book? Would you call your friends? I think I'm going to go for the nap. I don't know. It might take a really, really long, luxurious bubble bath. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. The question is, what do we want our time for? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze in that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy has been so essential in my own life, prioritizing what's the most important to me. What matters more than other things? How can I make time for certain things? It's totally changed how I arrange my life so that I'm doing more of what I love. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All of the things that you're worried about when it comes to starting therapy, BetterHelp takes care of. You can switch your therapist if you're not vibing with them. You can do it for no additional charge. You don't have to drive and be stuck in traffic. You can do it in the comfort of your own home. You don't have to worry about running into anybody. That's always my worst fear. So just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with the licensed therapist. And like I said, if you're not vibing with them, you switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bad today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bad. Okay, next, number 8. Fantasia Barrino wins the 3rd season of American Idol. I have so many fond memories growing up watching American Idol. Me and my mom watched every single week. It was usually, I think it was on twice a week because one night they would perform and then the next night was the results. And if my mom wasn't home, I would always record it and I would pause the recording on the commercials. So then she would get home and it would be all recorded and she could skip the commercials on the tape. I was a really good daughter. What can I say? But yeah, Fantasia won the 3rd season. The other notable contestants, I guess, the ones that I remember the best are Diana DeGarmo, who made it to the final 2, who Fantasia beat. LaToya London, Jennifer Hudson was on this season. Jennifer Hudson, she was robbed. Fantasia was amazing, but Jennifer Hudson, she only made it to like the top 7. And then that bitch went on to win an Oscar. Okay. She deserved so much better in American Idol. Jasmine Trias, George Huff. Like I sometimes read like American Idol names and they just, I have a reaction to them because they were such a huge part of my life when I was little. Like Bo Bice. Why do I remember Bo Bice? Sanjaya. I just remember all of these people so well. Fantasia was the youngest winner at the time until Jordan Sparks won in 2007. And her performance of Summertime, which is so incredible, was on AOL. My mom still has an AOL email address and we tease her about it all the time. List of the best television moments of 2004. Most recently, in 2023, Fantasia starred in the remake of The Color Purple alongside Danielle Brooks and Taraji P. Henson. Still killing it like she deserves. Number 9. Okay, these next few are about movies that were released, but they're really, you know, they're huge movies. So I want to talk about them for a minute. Number 9, our 9th moment from 2004, Napoleon Dynamite was released. Napoleon Dynamite was an independent movie written by Jared and Drew. I hope I'm saying it right. Jerusha Hess. And it was adapted from Jared's short film, Palooka, that he made in 2002 while attending BYU with John Heder, who plays Napoleon. Shout out to BYU. Shout out to my ex-Mormons everywhere and current Mormons. What representation? When I see BYU, it really brings us all together. It premiered at Sundance in January 2004, and it has amassed a cult following. I tried to look up how much like the Vote for Pedro t-shirts grossed, but everybody sells them and there's no like centralized database for how much money they made. But those were very, very popular. Napoleon Dynamite had a budget of $400,000, very low, and the cast and crew relied on Preston, Idaho locals for food and housing. It ended up grossing over $46 million. I looked this up, but I think it's one of the best performing indie movies and like one of the highest profit margins from $400,000. It won 4 awards at the Teen Choice Awards, including Breakout Star for Hayley Duff. Did not remember that she was in it, let alone that she won an award for it. Okay, the next movie and our number 10 moment from 2004, The Notebook was released. The Notebook, the foundation for millennial women and their toxic relationships everywhere. It was directed by Nick Cassavetes, who also directed My Sister's Keeper and The Other Woman. Just thought that was interesting. It stars Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling, based on the book by Nicholas Sparks that he based on his ex-wife's grandparents. It was his first book that he published and the most successful Nicholas Sparks adaptation to date, grossing over $116 million worldwide. There's also a sequel to the book. Did not know that. It's called The Wedding, and it follows Noah and Allie's daughter, Jane, as she falls in love with Wilson. And I'm going to take a shot in the dark here and guess that it's about a wedding between Jane and Wilson. Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling won the MTV Award for Best Kiss, and they gave us that iconic award acceptance moment, maybe one of the best of all times, running across the stage, recreating the kiss. Rachel's in his arms. He's holding her. Oh, it's so incredible. It's well known that Gosling was cast because he wasn't traditionally handsome, but I didn't know until I did this research that he wore brown contacts for filming. Noah has brown eyes. Ryan Gosling has blue eyes. The older scenes were also filmed first. So those ones where he's got a big beard and he's a little bit heavier and they're older, those were filmed first. And then he had to lose a bunch of weight. They cleaned him up and then they went back and filmed the scenes when they were younger. And honestly, I was like thinking about this and I was like, of course they have so much chemistry in the beginning of the movie. I mean, because they, I mean, I think they dated in real life and whatever, but they had already been filming forever. And so it was like, you get that feeling when you see them on screen that they've known each other for a while. And that's because they had. Anyway, thought that was kind of cute. Fun fact, Nick Cassavetes' mom, Gina Rollins, is the one who plays old Allie. Ryan Gosling also built the table in the dinner scene. So when they reunite and Allie goes to his house and they have dinner, you know, when they're staring at each other and they're making eyes at one another, Ryan Gosling built that table. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a man building you a table and then defiling it? That sounds great. Also did not know this, but Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears were considered for the roles of Noah and Allie. Shocking. Shocking. Just imagine Britney Spears in like a kitten heel and a beret. That's, I can't even picture it. Okay, number 11. Mean Girls was released. Rachel McAdams had The Notebook and Mean Girls in 1 year. Mean Girls was directed by Mark Waters and written by Tina Fey. Tina Fey read the book Queen Bees and Wannabes, and then she combined that with her own high school experiences and she developed the script and Lorne Michaels produced it. It stars Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried, Lacey Chabert, Lizzie Kaplan, and Jonathan Bennett. In my notes, so stupid. In my notes, in parentheses, after Jonathan Bennett, I put Cupcake Wars. Because I don't know if you know this, but he was the host of Cupcake Wars for a time. Him and Justin Willman. Okay, Lindsay was actually originally slated to play Regina, but they worried because she had had this really strong teen following at the time. She had just done Freaky Friday, and they were worried that it would alienate her young audience. So Rachel McAdams auditioned for Katie. They thought she was a little bit too old for Katie. And then they eventually decided because Rachel McAdams had a really kind and polite reputation that it would be a good fit for her to play this like mean-spirited character. And then early on when Lindsay was going to play Regina and they were thinking that she would do that, Kristen Stewart, Michelle Trachtenberg, and Mae Whitman all auditioned to play Katie. I think Mae Whitman would have been great. She seems like she would have been way too young 20 years ago. How old would Mae Whitman have been in 2004? I should have looked at, okay, Mae Whitman. Not Mark White. Okay, Mae Whitman. Sorry. Just a moment. Wait a minute. Mae Whitman. She's 35. So yeah, she would have been 15, but still seems a little bit too young because all the girls seem a little bit older. Leighton Meester, Hayley Duff, Kate Mara, and Megan Fox were all up for the role of Karen before it was given to Amanda Seyfried. Ashley Tisdale and Vanessa Ann Hudgens auditioned for the role of Gretchen Wieners. Gretchen Wieners is the best name of all time. Mean Girls grossed over $24.4 million on the first weekend. Honestly, we know it. We live it. We love it. It was a cultural juggernaut and also extremely fetch. Stupid joke. Oh, I'm recording late at night. I never record late at night, but it's the only time I had. The girly went down and I said, I gotta tell the people what I learned today. Okay, number 12 on our list, Jen and Ben call it quits. Yep. J-Lo and Ben Affleck call it quits. So they met in 2001 on the set of Geely, which I always thought was pronounced Jiggly or maybe Giggly, but according to the internet, it is Geely. J-Lo was married to Chris Judd at the time, but she filed for divorce and then got with Ben before her divorce was even finalized. In 2002, Ben has a cameo in Jenny from the Block. And in November 2002, they get engaged and the ring was estimated at $2.5 million. I think spending that much on jewelry is literally the dumbest thing in the world. I think there's nothing dumber than like, I mean, I put this on my story. I was looking at this list of watches worn at the Oscars and Roger Federer wore some huge Rolex that was worth millions. So stupid. I would literally never, could not be me. In 2003, they both star in Jersey Girl, J-Lo and Ben. And in September 2003, they end up postponing the wedding with this statement. They say, due to the excessive media attention surrounding our wedding, we have decided to postpone the date. When we found ourselves seriously contemplating hiring three separate decoy brides at three different locations, we realized that something was awry. We began to feel that the spirit of what should be the happiest day of our lives could be compromised. We felt that it should have been a joyful and sacred day, or what could have been a joyful and sacred day could be spoiled for us, our family and our friends. Wait. Oh, sorry. I just got really confused on the phrasing. Could be spoiled for us, our families and our friends. Sorry. So in January 2004, they officially announced the split. And by June 2004, J-Lo was already with Mark Anthony. And then the next year, Ben marries Jennifer Garner. But you know what? In 2001, they make this breakup everyone's problem because they're back together. Bennifer reunites. And I can't even imagine, like, looking back at J-Lo's career, she had to postpone things because the paparazzi were so obsessed with her and Ben Affleck. Like, Ben was like new on the scene and she, you know, she's from New York. He's from Boston. They're this cute, like young couple, whatever. They had so much paparazzi surrounding them all the time. I bet J-Lo would love that much media attention right now because I don't know if you guys have seen This Is Me Now, but I've been unfortunate enough to just see parts of it and it's bad. It's bad. The album flopped. It was like one of the, I think they said it was one of the worst releases in Spotify history, but thankfully she spent the $20 million on the accompanying movie type thing that honestly just feels like you're on drugs for most of it. It's wild. Lucy told me she saw something that said that J-Lo is Michael Scott coded because I don't know if you guys have seen that TikTok where she's like, I love when my hair is crazy. It reminds me of when I was running up and down the block. No limits, all dreams. Like she's Michael Scott coded is the perfect way to put it. And then I told my sister-in-law that and she said, yeah, I guarantee she's got Scott's tots somewhere in the Bronx. But yeah, she's really been flopping. I don't know why. Like she's made over $1 billion with movies, just her rom-coms, over $1 billion. Like leave us alone. Just go be rich somewhere. You're married to one of the hottest men ever. You've got a ton of money. Just like, Stop. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Astapro. I want to give a huge shout out to Astapro for a moment. Of course, for sponsoring the podcast in this episode, very glad to be partnered with them, but also for providing me with free samples of their product because I have really, really bad spring and summer allergies. I had them really bad as a kid and they just keep getting worse as I get older. And I'm always looking for something that's going to be fast. When my allergies are flaring up, I don't want it to take forever. I just want to do the nasal spray and move on with my day. And that's what Astapro delivers. It is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray, and it starts working in 30 minutes while a lot of other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Oh, what is worse than that nasal congestion? It throws off your whole day. You can't get anything done. Your brain doesn't work properly. You need something to clear that up ASAP. So get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. That is spelled ASTEPROallergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
What's up, everyone? I'm Sheena Shea. You may know me from 9 seasons of Bravo's Vanderpump Rules, but I'm here to tell you about my podcast called Shenanigans. We talk about everything from reality TV, pop culture, relationships, parenting, and invite you to join the conversations with Q&A sessions where nothing is off the table. There's so much more I want to share with you. Thanks for listening, and make sure to subscribe to Shenanigans to stay up to date with new episodes every Friday.
Okay, number 13. This one's for you guys. Okay, this one's for you guys. This one's not for me, but I had to include it. Friends aired their last episode. You guys know I've never watched Friends. I don't know a lot about it, but here's what I've learned about it. This last episode of Friends is called The Last One, or The One Where They Say Goodbye. And parts 1 and 2 are the last episodes of the 10th season and the 235th and 236th episodes overall. Let's talk about some fun facts that I learned about Friends that I thought were fun, being somebody who has not seen any of them. The working titles were Insomnia Cafe, Friends Like Us, and Six of One. Luckily, they didn't do any of those stupid titles. They went with Friends. All six friends' names were inspired by characters from All My Children. David Schwimmer did not audition. The creators actually knew him for a sitcom he auditioned for years prior, and they remembered him and they knew that he would be perfect for Ross. Jane Lynch auditioned for Phoebe. That would be scary. That'd be very scary. The iconic orange couch was found in a basement at Warner Brothers. Courtney Cox is the only friend to not get an Emmy for her work on Friends, and each character was paid $1 million per episode. Before the wage gap, before we knew about it, they were making strides. They were paying every single main character the same amount of money. Love it. Okay, number 14, Brittany marries K-Fed. And as I was watching, or as I was researching this, I mean, it was scandalous at the time, but it's much less scandalous now that I'm going through it. Like, things that have happened in the last few years compared to Brittany marrying K-Fed, like, that's child's play. So Kevin Federline was a backup dancer for Justin Timberlake, and he met Brittany at a Hollywood club called Joseph's. In September 2004, nearly 3 months after they began dating, Spears, who was 22, and Federline, who was 26, tied the knot at an event billed as an engagement party in Studio City. Although the couple had originally planned on getting married the following month in a lavish ceremony, they ended up scrapping the idea in favor of the surprise. Brittany said that she thought it would be too much. Let's see. She said, "I thought it would be too much if we had done it when we were supposed to. It became this huge thing. And I was like, what are we waiting for? We know this is the real thing. Why not just do it now? And that's why I wanted to sneak away and do it our little way." This is probably where the scandal comes in. Kevin's girlfriend was pregnant at the time when he broke up with her and got with Brittany. Her name was Shar Jackson. He has 2 kids with her, one of which their middle name is Michael Jackson, which is crazy. But in 2005, Brittany and Kevin had their reality show called Brittany and Kevin Chaotic. And shortly after, in 2007, they divorced, citing irreconcilable differences, initially getting 50-50 custody of their 2 boys. Now it is 70-30. K-Fed has 70%. Brittany has 30. Yeah, lots to say about Brittany. Obviously, we can go into that in a different episode, but it's been weird for a while. It's been weird. Things have been off. I think about her and Amanda Bynes, and again, the public did them wrong. Okay, number 15 on our list. Anchorman was released in 2004. I don't know why that blew my mind. Why does it feel like that came out in 2012? Like 20 years ago, Anchorman came out. That's wild. It was produced by Judd Apatow and it was directed by Adam McKay. Adam McKay and Will Ferrell must have a really strong working relationship because Adam McKay directs a ton of Will Ferrell movies. And he also did The Big Short, Don't Look Up, Vice, and episodes of Succession. Anchorman is a parody of 1970s action news culture, and it made $28.4 million its first weekend, and it is still considered one of the best comedies of all time. I thought it would be fun to list some of the quotes that we got from Anchorman that I think people still say pretty frequently. I mean, these are overdone. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think any of these are funny anymore, but I do think it's interesting that they all came from this movie. First up, boy, that escalated quickly. This is probably the quote that people think of the most when they think of Anchorman. I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books and my apartment smells of rich mahogany. That one's pretty good. That was pretty good. I mean, these all feel so overdone 20 years later, but Stay Classy San Diego is from there. I love Lamp. I love Lamp is a big deal in certain circles. Oh, it's getting so late. Okay, I'm in a glass case of emotion. Oh, Will Ferrell is so good. He seriously is so funny. And of course, 60% of the time it works every time. Okay, number 16 on our list of 2004 moments. Shake Shack opened its first location. This is not pop culture related, but again, it has affected my life very deeply. Madison Square Park was being revamped and their director of operations decided to establish a hot dog cart, which was run out of 11 Madison Park. The cart became successful. And then in 2004, they opened a kiosk style restaurant within the park. And then after a few months, it was obvious that there was room for expansion. And then they, of course, expanded outside of New York. And now we all have the blessing of Shake Shack. So the first Shake Shack may have been in New York. I want to state here, just so everybody knows, that Utah has the first drive-through Shake Shack. So I don't know where that puts us in the ranking for like coolness levels, but I think it's pretty neat. I have a picture here of the original Shake Shack menu, and it's pretty much the same. I mean, hamburger, cheeseburger, Shack Burger, Shroom Burger. They've got hot dogs, sundaes, Shackapalooza, which is a quintuple dip, any four toppings, whipped cream and cherry. Wow, I want a Shackapalooza. They also have something called the Puccini, a chili treat for those with 4 feet, frozen custard, peanut butter, and dog biscuit. Puccini. That doesn't sound right. Okay, number 17 on our moments from 2004, Ashley Simpson lip syncs on SNL. It's crazy how big of a deal this was because Ashley Simpson was really not, I mean, she was obviously super famous. She was a Nepo sibling, which people don't talk about Nepo siblings very much, but there were a lot. There are still so many, like Noah Cyrus. I mean, I guess they're kind of Nepo babies too, but what about like Hayley Duff? What about Elizabeth Olsen? All of them are Nepo siblings, which I'm not against them. I'm just saying we just didn't really have that conversation. But on October 23rd, while Jude Law was hosting SNL, Ashley Simpson's music started to Pieces of Me and she did not. She did not start. I kind of get it. I would lip sync. I feel like people probably lip sync a lot more than we think they do. It's very obvious when people aren't lip syncing, but if I were going on SNL, like doing the Super Bowl, stuff like that, like I'd lip sync. I don't know. Call me crazy. Okay, number 19 and 20, or I guess 19 is kind of two parts. 19, Jennifer Aniston was voted the most beautiful woman on earth. And she had won this award before and she's won it since. And I'm just kind of like, does this award need to go to the same person multiple times? Like there are so many beautiful, beautiful women out there. Like we have to give it to the same, like, come on. And then the sexiest man alive was given to Jude Law. I was looking at movies that he had or that he would have been promoting on SNL or something. And the movie Alfie came out this year, but Jude Law aged like fine wine, still hot. Mr. Napkinhead was hot and he's even hotter now. Okay, number 20 for our moments that happened in 2004. Let's do a little 2004 Oscars. Just quick little recap, nothing crazy, but Billy Crystal hosted. And if you have not seen the 2004 Billy Crystal opening monologue, it has been stuck in my head for 20 years and I'm not joking. He does a song and I've had one particular line stuck in my head. He says, I think it's to the tune, I need to go back and rewatch this part. Anyway, but he says, and Smeagol popped out like the right boob of Janet. And that's been stuck in my head for 20 years because Lord of the Rings, Return of the King came out. And then obviously Janet's boob came out and he sings about it. And I like sometimes in the middle of the night, I will wake up. Like, you know, the part on Inside Out where they're like, should we send up the gum commercial? Should we make her remember it? Like my people vacuuming my memories, send up the 2004 Billy Crystal monologue song. Just that line randomly for the last 20 years. Sean Penn won Best Actor for Mystic River. Charlize Theron won Best Actress for Monster. And the two dated later on, actually. Crazy. At 32 years old, Sofia Coppola won Best Original Screenplay for Lost in Translation. I was watching the videos from this Oscars show and I was looking at Sofia Coppola and I was like, oh, I wonder how old she was when she got her first, Oscar nomination, whatever. 32. I was like, oh, she was pretty old. Okay. Maddie, you're 31 this year. You need to accept that. You need to accept that you're in your 30s. It's time. Finding Nemo won Best Animated Feature. Can't believe that's 20 years old. Still looks amazing. And then Return of the King won Best Picture. Return of the King has to be the only like third movie in a trilogy to win an Oscar. That seems crazy. And I thought I would do a little 2004 summary of what I was doing that year. That year I turned 11, was just entering I had to have been the worst kid to deal with from ages like 11 to 17, maybe a little bit older. And then some other phases within. Anyway, I turned 11. I was in sixth grade. My favorite t-shirt said "Proud to be awesome." That's what I wore every day. I shopped at Limited 2 and Aeropostale, and I was devastated when my mom wouldn't let me shop at Pink by Victoria's Secret. In seventh grade, I was allowed to get my first pair of pink sweats, and that really changed me. Like I said, I was in sixth grade. My teacher was Mrs. Dominguez. 1-2-Step was my favorite song. I had a pink iPod Nano with Madison Rose Murphy engraved on the back, and I was finally allowed to get my own email address, which I, of course, chose piggy4567@hotmail.com. What a trip down memory lane this has been. 2004 was, I was 11. Most of us were probably 11, 12, 13, 14. Like this year, I couldn't believe it when I was going through so many things happening. I mean, the Super Bowl and Mean Girls and The Notebook and the Livestrong bracelet of it all. Facebook coming. I mean, it's too much. It's too much. It was a great year. Thank you for coming on this adventure with me and letting me tell you guys all about my favorite topics, AKA trashy reality TV and nostalgic pop culture. Hope you guys enjoyed hearing about all this stuff as much as I loved researching it. We should just continue the series. Next time we'll do 2005 next year. I mean, I guess we can only do it as long as you guys let me keep the podcast. So let's keep it going and we will always continue our nostalgia series. All right. Thank you guys for joining me. I'll see you guys next week. Remember to be safe, be kind, be hot. I'll catch you on Instant Messenger later. You can add me piggy4567@hotmail.com. Love you so much. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can catch a new episode of The Bad Broadcast every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. Also, I want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information. Talk to you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.